Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
It requires really very little of us to receive eternal life. That's an awesome thing, just to believe in and to trust into Him, in Him, and we would receive eternal life. I think it's so simple that it confounds the wise, that many people tend to overlook the power in such a simple truth and principle that Jesus Christ established with His death and His resurrection. And you and I this morning are the recipients of some of the greatest things that God can provide for us, and that is a personal relationship with Himself and His Son. And He does that in a very unique way. He does that through His Holy Spirit. We've sensed His Spirit here this morning. We appreciate the presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, preachers can't preach very well without the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot live very successfully as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. And I think God has designed it that way. In fact, I want to kind of take you through several scriptures this morning that indicate that, and I want to talk a little bit this morning about the Holy Spirit's work in your life and what He's doing in your life today. I'm convinced that we oftentimes overlook the intimacy of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the importance of yielding to that power. In fact, I think sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in such a way that we don't even know He's moving. How many of you have ever... I don't know if this is a proverb or not, but I'll invent one. How many of you have dodged bullets before in your life? You know, you just turn around and something, you escape some kind of problem or issue or trouble in your life, and you just look back and say, how in the world did that happen? What was that all about? Has anybody ever done that? I've done that so many times that it's not even worth counting, but the important thing that I've discovered is that I had to acknowledge that this was something beyond myself. It was not my doing or my orchestration, but somehow somebody was looking out for me. And I can give you several examples of that that I've used so many times that you would be bored with it. But I remember God rescuing my life in two different specific situations that undeniably, as far as I'm concerned, now you might look at it, or someone that's not a believer or a Christian and has not received Christ, might just think of that as coincidence or luck. Yet good luck. I personally don't believe in luck. That's why I don't go to Reno for those reasons. I go to see my family. But I believe that God is the blessed controller of all things. And so it's a privilege to be one of His children. And the things that I've learned over the years is that the more I cooperate with His Holy Spirit, the more I grow and mature and am successful in my walk for Christ. And I kind of enjoy the adventure of it. Has anybody finally figured out you're living an adventure for Jesus Christ? And it becomes pretty exciting sometimes, because things happen in your life. You don't orchestrate them, but they come along in your life, and they're exciting, they're thrilling, and they bring meaning and purpose to your walk in Christ. Because it's one thing to mentally and intellectually accept the teachings of Jesus Christ and claim to be a Christian, but I contend that's not complete. Just because you mentally assent to the fact that Jesus existed, that He was a great prophet and a teacher, and He created a new religion, that's all well and good. He did all of those things, and that He came to redeem man, that's good. Came to bring man and God into reconciliation, oh, that's good. That's all great, great teachings and great doctrine and great dogma for the church. And the fundamental beliefs of the church are that Jesus came, that He was God, born of a Virgin Mary, that He was God in the flesh, and that He did all this marvelous teaching and healing and all this to show us the way to eternal life through Himself, that God had sent Him. All these things we read in the Bible, we can mentally accept that. That is not sufficient to get you into heaven. You know that, don't you? I hope you've come to the understanding that just because you mentally agree with and have accepted this is going to be my religion, and I believe all the tenets and the teachings of this church, that's going to get you to heaven. That is not going to do that. There is necessary for you, according to Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Him, that you have to have a personal encounter with God. Yes, you can believe all these things, but it's not until you receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior that any of this thing has any real impact in your life. Because otherwise, it's just a bunch of rules. Well, Christians don't do this, so you don't do those things. You conform to that. It's rules and conformity, and it is not transformation in your life. And according to Jesus Christ, you need a transformation. According to the Apostle Paul, you need a transformation in your life. According to the Apostle, or the, not the Apostle, but the author of the book of Luke and the author of the book of Acts, he insists that there is a necessary experience with God's Holy Spirit in order for the transaction to be completed. For God to complete His work of redemption in you, you must encounter the Holy Spirit of God. That's how you receive God's eternal life, is through the work of the Holy Spirit. I know it's Jesus that accomplished it at Calvary, but it is the Holy Spirit that applies it in your personal life every day. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians. I want to begin there because I think the book of Acts leads us to these scriptures. I think it's the book of Acts that was written not... let me give you a little background before I get to Galatians. We're going to be reading in Galatians 5 and 22. But I want to give you a little background here about the book of Acts and where this leads us to. And I want you to understand something about how God works and moves in people's lives. And I want to be careful that I don't leave you with the impression that every little thought that flows through your mind is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You understand what I'm talking about? It has to align itself, whatever comes, an impression or word that comes from God. And I believe God gives us words. I think we heard three of them this morning. But I'm convinced that God speaks to men. He speaks to people's hearts. He puts thoughts and intentions in their lives and in their minds and in their hearts. How God speaks to us. He also speaks to us through His Word. He also speaks to us through other people sharing the Word of God with us. But it must all align itself. It has to be biblically based. It cannot be something that you just thought up, well, I believe that God spoke to me that everybody should go to Doc's Pizza today. You know, that would be good for Randy and Sharon. But it's not necessarily God speaking to me to tell us all to do that. But if God spoke to me, because, well, one of the reasons is it's not in the scripture. But if God told me that, hey, you need to get your act together. You need to stop having these bad attitudes. You need to stop thinking these things or saying these things or hurting people or even sinning in any number of ways that you can possibly sin. I would kind of think that's God speaking to me because He's trying to correct my life, trying to instruct me in godly living and what pleases Him as far as our life is concerned. Now, that would be aligned with the Scripture. And so on a personal basis, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we can have all kinds of thoughts going through our mind, but it's those ones that seem to strike our heart, our spirit, along with our mind, and they align themselves with the Word of God. It's those things that we can pretty much be assured that it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, God speaking to us. And so when Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, it was to instruct a particular individual about the life of Jesus Christ. Then when he wrote the book of Acts, he was giving a, not totally chronological, but a pretty much chronological happenings of what was going on with the development of the early church when it was birthed in the book of Acts, the second chapter, when the Holy Spirit came down on the men in the upper room, men and women in the upper room, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to demonstrate the effects of the Holy Spirit infilling them. Wonderful things took place. They started speaking in languages. Other people heard them speaking in their own home language. You know, Jerusalem was kind of a center of commerce, and all kinds of nations and stuff came through there, and all kinds of tongues and peoples and all that kind. And as they spoke in the Spirit, many men heard them speaking in their native tongue. Well, it was pretty phenomenal because these men were not necessarily educated men, didn't know a bunch of languages, so these men were speaking all kinds of languages, so there was heavenly languages being spoken. Well, the book of Acts was written for the purpose of not just showing you the development of the early church, which is, you know, not all that necessarily that exciting, except when you read to those parts, you know, where the Holy Spirit comes down on, then a couple of the apostles are headed to church on a Sunday, and they raise some old crippled guy up off the bed and he walks and things like that. Those are pretty exciting things that take place. And so it is pretty exciting to see how the church developed. But one of the things that it does, it doesn't talk about just what the apostles have done. It was designed and written for the specific purpose for Theophilus, the guy who he wrote the letter to, for him to understand the moving of the Holy Spirit in the church. He birthed the church. He is the predominant power in the church, behind, in, and through the church. It's God's Holy Spirit. It's how he desires to work through people today. And he does that by working through you, in you, as well as on you and around you. It's not just atmospheric. It is internal. You know what I'm saying? And so when Luke writes this, his whole purpose is to describe to whoever would read, Theophilus or whoever might read it in the future, that the Holy Spirit was a predominant action or active agent in the early church. It was the Holy Spirit that grew the church, developed the church, grew people, helped them through major mistakes. You know, the early church made a big mistake at one time. I think they personally made a mistake by picking an apostle that God wasn't necessarily going to pick as an apostle. I think he was going to pick the apostle Paul as the replacement of Judas. Remember Judas? That's one of the apostles, the impossible apostle. Anyway, he committed suicide, and so they were left with 11. And so the church quickly replaced him with Matthias. Well, you never hear the guy again, but you certainly hear a whole lot about the apostle Paul from that point on, who was called an apostle out of time, which I believe really alludes to the fact that he was one that should have been chosen as the 12th. But nevertheless, it went as it went. So the other mistake they made is they wanted to, hey, everybody... In fact, wait a second, I'm starting to get that revelation myself right now. Everybody sell everything they've got, bring it to the church and the pastor, and I'll distribute to you as I think you have a need. Wouldn't that be convenient? Well, they made that mistake. And any church that ever tries to do that, believe me, it's a mistake, and it's not God. So what happened is men with good intentions... Let's be real honest. When we get all excited about the Lord, don't we have good intentions? Don't we want to do good for each other? Don't we want everybody in the body, every Christian to be blessed? And so a logical idea. Well, let's all throw our stuff together and we'll make sure everybody has enough. Communism doesn't work. It hasn't worked ever. It didn't work in the church and it doesn't work now. Just a thought. Which brings me to an interesting thought that I should remind you of. What a perfect segue. How many of you are 18 years old here or older this morning here? 18 or older. Okay. Now, of all of you, I'm assuming that you have registered to vote. You need to vote. Now, I know, as Dana reminded me this morning, that every year they tell you this is probably the most important election that you will ever be experiencing. But let me tell you unequivocally, this is... the most important election you will ever participate in. And you need to remember what many people have forgotten. This land was built on freedom. Freedom. And that this land and our government was accountable to the people. And that we have a constitution of laws that we need to follow. And we have so strayed from those things and from our God, who helped, I believe, build this nation with the principles. Every bit of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, I can show you almost identically in the Bible. And it's not that they wanted to have a theocracy be ruled by God or some religious leader. It was that they wanted men to have all the freedom spiritually and physically and so forth in our society. So our society, I think, was divinely ordained. You might not call all these creatures that put this whole thing together as being a great spiritual man. That isn't important. If God is behind it, it made us the freest. The only people in history, that has ever been free to set their own destiny. And we've been given this privilege, and it's only been a 200 and some odd years that we've strayed so far from it. And so what we need to be aware of, I know I'm off track here, but you'll forgive me. What we need to do is vote constitutionalists back, freedom back, take back control of a government that is so far out of control that if we don't do something in this election, we may never be able to turn the tide and bring this back to a nation that believes in the Constitution, in a God that is that holds us accountable to our personal conduct and our personal responsibility. You need to vote for people that are the closest to the, not biblical truth, but what God has given us through our Constitution and Bill of Rights and the freedoms that we have enjoyed. All too many of those who have fought so hard for our freedoms are passing off the scene, and our younger generations don't know what it was like to be free of government control and regulation on everything that you do. You need to vote for conservative people. Vote for whoever you want to. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but you better vote conservatively to turn this nation back toward our Constitution. Take this nation back from those who, since the probably 20s, but it's really exploded in the 60s, have tried to undermine this Constitution and turn everything that we believe as right principles upside down. And so I am encouraging you with that little side note to vote. Vote. It's your only chance. And if you don't vote, and if you ever come up to me and make a complaint about what's going on in this nation and in our government, state, local, and national, and you have not voted, don't talk to me. Don't complain to me. Don't tell me how things are going wrong because you didn't vote. If you vote, then you got all the freedom you want. You can talk to me, and we may disagree on how you voted, but that's fine. That's what America is free to do. I said free to do. But don't come to me and complain if you haven't voted and done your civic duty to try to get our land back in the direction of conservative values. Okay, that being said, now I'm way off track. Let me bring you back to what I think God is trying to do in the work of the Holy Spirit in our church. In the book of Galatians, I ask you to turn there in the 5th chapter, 22nd verse. There's a list there that I think that the Apostle Paul, who is the one that wrote this, I think it is a follow-up in by the Holy Spirit, in a sense, of what three things that God wants to do. If you're wondering what God is doing in your life, if you're wondering what God's will is for your life, you see, God doesn't care what job you do as long as it's honest. God really doesn't care what job you do. You are built with a personality and with whatever, and you are tending toward, some of you are mechanical, some of you are intellectual thinkers, mathematically inclined, and all that. You have the talents that God has placed in you. And you can pick any job that you like, and I know, because I've done all kinds of jobs. I've been busboy. I've been all kinds of different laborers and different jobs, and I finally settled on where I'm at. And I think that God kind of directs you in that way, but He really doesn't care. I'm going to blow your mind on a couple of things here, but He doesn't really care what job you do as long as it's honest, and you have integrity, and you treat. You do well for your boss, and you give him the 8 hours or whatever. If you're in business for yourself, you'll work more than 8 hours. But at any rate, God doesn't really care about it. He frankly doesn't even care who you marry. He has set down some rules. They've got to be equally yoked. So, you know, Christians shouldn't be going down to the tavern to find a wife. I mean, it just doesn't. You follow what I'm saying? So you can have relationships and try to build a relationship with just about anybody as long as you're equally yoked. Now, I believe God intends for you to, He has special people for you. I intend that. But frankly, what is He most concerned about? He's most concerned about your personal development. And if you do choose a wife or marry a husband that you have dated for a while and courted for a while and learned today this guy might make it or this chick might make it, I might marry this girl or something. And then she looks at you and says, well, no, maybe this is bad. I'm going to find somebody else. So then you go off somewhere else and find. But eventually somebody's going to feel sorry for you guys and marry you. You know what I mean? Somehow it's going to work out. And God may be involved in that. If you ask God to be involved with that, I think God will be involved with that. But frankly, what He wants is for you to have a godly relationship. Whomever you work out, you should pray about it and ask God. But ultimately what God wants, it's three things, and this is how He's working in your life. He wants a moral character. That's what God is doing. So it's not hard to figure out what God's will for you. What is God's will for me as a person? Well, he wants you to have moral character. You need to have ethics. You need to be a man of integrity. You need to be a godly person. And he outlines throughout Scripture very well what a godly person should be and how they should conduct themselves. It's not difficult to read through the Bible and figure out some of those things. But one of the lists I think that he relates to in the area of character is in this chapter that, 5 and 22 of Galatians. I'm going to read for you there in just a second. The second thing I think God is doing in your life is developing spiritual insight, understanding. Understanding what the Bible's talking about. When you read it, have you ever talked to somebody who is not a Christian, not a believer, hasn't had that transformation in their life, hasn't had a relationship with Christ, an experience or an encounter with the Holy Spirit, hasn't had that, and they read the Bible, what do they tell you? I read the Bible, but I just can't understand anything that I'm reading. How many times have you heard that? And you try to tell them, well, listen, you got to come to know Jesus before some of this is going to make any sense to you. Because you can read the Bible, and how would you, if you were not a Christian, how would you read the Bible? Well, you would pick it up and you would open up to the first book in the Bible, would you not? You'd start reading in Genesis and you'd read right through to the book of Revelation. That's how most books are read. The Bible is unique. It's not read that way. In fact, many scholars will tell you and encourage you to start in the New Testament, in the Gospels first, and then into the book of Acts, and then some of the epistles, and then tie that back to reading some of the books of the Old Testament. Kind of sounds kind of boring, but the Bible is not read from cover to cover. You can do that, and you can do it systematically and all that kind of stuff, but frankly, the Bible has to be searched. And you need the Holy Spirit to help you search it. Some of the easy stuff we can direct you to easy, but you need spiritual insight. You need to understand how to get that godly character, that moral character. How do you get that? You have to have spiritual insight. Well, spiritual insight requires the Holy Spirit to help you get that insight. Am I correct? And what's the third thing he wants you to have? He wants you to have personal growth in your spiritual walk. He does not want you just to experience something and never grow from that point. He wants you to have insight and understanding, but that should develop something in your life and a momentum in your life and a work in your life that the Holy Spirit is doing so that he can accomplish these three goals in your life. It's not real rocket science here, but now let me give you the list that I think he's talking about, because I think the Holy Spirit wants to describe what God wants for you in such a way that he can begin to plant that kind of seed in your life through that personal encounter, that experience, and then begin to grow that. And the reason I say that is because that's the terminology he uses in this chapter. Listen to what he says. Verse 22, he gives a contrasting conduct by people that are not godly people or not Christian people or believers, but then he contrasts that with what a believer should. These should be evidences that's seen in a believer. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. There's no laws that say you can't do all you want of those things. Now, let me tell you strictly, character is not a stagnant thing. Character is something that can be grown and developed and improved. There can be a new and improved you every Sunday as the Holy Spirit works on your life. And so many of you have come to the house of God even this morning, and the Spirit of the Lord has been talking to you, and he may be talking to you about something in your life that he would like to get out of your life or something that he wants to put in your life. But either way, when you came to the house of God, it wasn't just to sing songs. It was to experience the Holy Spirit moving actively in your life. And so as you praised, and as you sang, and as you prayed, and as we hear the word, the Holy Spirit is doing things inside your heart, whether to take things that are not pleasing to him out or to put things that are good in your life. So it takes a dependence on the Holy Spirit. So listen to what he says here. These are very good words, and you need to remember these words, because I think this is, in fact, personally, I think that the evidence that the Holy Spirit is even working in your life at all is that some of these little fruits are going to be seen. These are evidences that the Holy Spirit is active. And so if you have love for people, you have joy, you have peace, you're a long-suffering person, you have gentleness and goodness, and you have faith in God and faith in men and God's people, you have meekness, which, by the way, is not a bad term. That is a good term. That is called strength under control is meekness. Meekness, temperance, that's controlling your temper. All these things are not restricted by God. But note what he said, it is the fruit. Now, we got a bin full of apples out there for you this morning. Where did that fruit come from? Well, it was hanging on a tree. That tree, the evidence, the fruit, what that tree produces, apple trees produce, you're ahead of me. Peach trees produce peach. Okay, you got it. It wasn't rocket science, was it? And I'm probably insulting you by saying it that way, but the truth of the matter is, the evidence of you that the Holy Spirit is working in you is that these things are being produced in you. These are the little apples hanging off your tree. Gentleness, meekness, kindness, love, joy. These things are things that show other people that you are having something happen in your life by the Holy Spirit. These are the things that God does in your life. How many of you were an old crank before you became a Christian? Now suddenly you... I'll just be honest. I was a young, stupid brat at one time. And I used to think old people and kids were worthless. Go figure. Young, 18, 20-year-old guy. You know, you're young, alive, and vibrant. Old people are in your way. Little kids are underfoot. You know what I'm saying? They always. But now that I've been a born-again Christian for a long time, I appreciate everything about older folks. And I love kids, especially when they're overweight. I love to pinch the fat on their legs and on their cheeks. It's just something, I don't know why that happens. It just happens. And so I get excited about that. And when I look at all these pictures, Mom and Grandpa and all of them show me, I don't look for the face. I look, oh, that's a cute kid. I look to see if they got fat cheeks. That's what I like. I'm sorry, it's a weird thing, but it's, you know, anyway. But because then I know they're eating healthy and they're being treated good and all those kinds of things. But the Holy Spirit is actually doing some growing in us. And what it does in us, it produces things. You have joy, you have love, you have peace. And so you love people you didn't love before. And you like to do things that you didn't like to do before. And you don't do things that are going to interfere with that work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That makes sense, doesn't it? And so the three things that God is wanting to work on your life is to bring some evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in you, and evidence that what pleases God is a good, well-tempered, self-controlled individual that lets the Holy Spirit move them. That's what evidence that God is actually moving. In fact, these very words that are listed here actually describe God's character. Every one of those is an illustration of God. And who he is and what he's all about. Am I right? There are other scriptures that support this. Scriptures like John has written, God is love. So when love is mentioned here as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it is part of what God is. If you want to know what God is, read what the list is. That's who God is. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to develop and grow in us. He's trying to build a strong character. Let me tell you, our nation and this world need some people with strong moral character. We need politicians that cannot be swayed by special interests and money. Hey, we need people that will do things for the people and not for their special friends. That's a good segue too. I like that one. Am I making sense? We need leadership that will lead us morally and not accept everyone everybody's fantasy as a right. Am I making any sense? You know, I might like to eat alligators, but that isn't necessarily a right that I should have. And I might be a minority of people that eat alligators. There may only be a few of us that eat alligators. But I don't need to go to Congress and demand my rights that I can eat alligators. Was that too deep for you? And that happens in every one of our areas of life, our moral life. Since the 60s, all of our values have been directly attacked and have tried to be turned upside down. That which was once wrong in this nation has now been given a civil right. Am I making any sense to you? So we need leadership. We need preachers that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach the word of God and not their own ideas or their own fantasies. We need not only spiritual leaders, but we need political leaders. We need homes filled with godly people. We need parents teaching their children how to live morally and upright and godly. Why? Well, we've seen what happens when you take the Bible out of school, prayer out of school, and parental influence out of school. You have teenage pregnancy rampant. You have abortion to the 50 million tune at this point. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we had spiritual leaders, we'd have 50 million more Americans working and living and making this a prosperous nation. I probably hit the wrong bone there, didn't I? So we need the Holy Spirit, in my view. Other secular people are not going to agree with that. Politicians and other preachers are not always going to agree with me. But I'm going to tell you what. How can you preach about godliness and how can you preach about God if you don't live and practice what you preach? As far as I'm concerned, you have no integrity. And that's part of the problem. We need moral character in our society on every level. When I was a kid, you would never... If you did, it was hushed up and that person was kicked out of our schools. I never heard of a teacher having relationships with a student when I was in school. Never. I never heard. If it ever happened, it was kept up so hushed that we never, and we never saw our teachers leaving, so we didn't, nothing was going on. Today, it's happening all the time. You know, that's just one example of how far we have gone from our moral compass. Not that everybody has to be a Christian. Not that everybody has to. I mean, if they want to get to heaven, I believe the Bible teaches that's what you've got to do. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have to be a Christian to know that moral values are good for you. It's good when people are honest. It's good when people are not coveting one another's stuff. It's good when we don't steal from each other. It's pretty good also when we don't kill each other. You know, the Big Ten is still a good thing. And I've never understood why they wanted to get the Ten Commandments out of any, courthouse. That's a stupid... Every law that is written in this land is written based on those laws except for the ones about God. The stealing, the coveting, the murdering, and all the, those are all human relationship laws. There's only a couple of them in there that have to do with God, and that's your choice if you don't want to. But let me ask you something. Wouldn't it be pretty good if we kind of live by God's standard than having a society that does whatever's right in their own eyes? Our society is crumbling because we don't have people of moral character. So the big work that the Holy Spirit is trying to work, well, if I can't get the rest of the world to have any moral character, at least I can have the church people have some moral character. Amen? So what is God doing in your life? I can tell you right now, you want to know what God's will is? That you live right, walk right, do right. And have integrity and have character. Amen? Yeah. Should have been shouting on that. I hate to tell you that, but you should have been shouting. That's one of them shouting things. Another scripture that I wanted to read for you is a pretty good scripture that I think kind of speaks to one of the lists that the Holy Spirit is doing. You know, in fact, we experienced some of that this morning, but I think it's important just to mention it because the book of Acts is talking about all that God's work is Holy Spirit is doing in His church. It hasn't halted. He's still doing it in our church, and this is what He's trying to do in you as a person, but this is why what He's trying to do in us as a church. Listen to this. Quick, I may be as quick. I'm going to be really talking fast here for about 5 minutes, and then we'll try to get out here, but listen to what He says. By the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everybody. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, and discerning of diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of those tongues. So that's a list of the manifestations that the Holy Spirit shows you in church. So that the collective, what is He doing? He's trying to speak. And I will tell you that if anything that is operated through the gifts of the Spirit, if they do not align with the Scripture, that is not God. If one of the three messages, or all three, or none of them, but if any of the messages that we heard this morning did not align with the Word of God, did not have a basis in what the Bible says, then you and I should just reject everything that was said. Amen. Amen? But as I'm listening, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but while people are speaking messages in my church, I'm listening to what they're saying. Amen. I'm praying for God to speak to you as they share that, but I'm listening to what, you know what I'm listening for? I'm not listening, Jesus is coming, we're all coming back, He's coming back, we're all going to go up tomorrow. I'm not listening for that kind of stuff. Or the stuff that makes you feel good. I'm trying to listen if it's biblical or not. You can say anything you want to in church, but if it don't line up with this Bible, you're not going to be speaking in this church very long. Ooh. Why? Because we want to keep the Word of God pure. Because the Word of God is what changes men's heart. It's the Word of God that delivers you out of your problems. It's the Word of God that saves us. It's the Word of God. It's God's Word to us that gives us moral character, gives us spiritual insight, which is what I just read for you. Spiritual insight. We need to understand what God is doing in our life. We need to understand what He's saying to us and what it means to us and what the Word of God, reading the Bible, says. It takes the Spirit to help us understand. He gives us spiritual insight. That's, if you want to know what else God is doing, He's working to give you some spiritual understanding. Amen. You would be surprised how many Christians have read this Bible and tried to practice it and have been dumber than a rope. You know what I mean? They get caught up in enthusiasm and excitement. There's nothing wrong with enthusiasm. I want us to be excited. I want there to be emotion involved in it. Because if you're not got some emotion involved in it, you're pretty dull. You need to be excited about Christ. You need to be in love with Him. Love is an emotion. You need to get excited and passionate when He touches you, speaks to you, ministers to you. You need to respond to Him with emotions. You need to shout once in a while. You need to praise Him with all your heart. You need to sing out loud. I know I don't have a good voice, but while John was singing, I knew that song. I was singing along with him. I'm so glad they had the mic off. But I was singing and sounding real good to myself, but nobody else could hear. But I like that. I like to sing and shout. And that's emotional. Anybody tells you you can't express your love for Jesus Christ outwardly and emotionally needs to be slapped right upside the head. Because you need to be free to express yourself, but you need to understand what you're doing. We don't just do things for the sake of doing things. You don't just jump up and shout to just be jumping up and shouting. You jump up and shout because you're excited about what God shared with you in your life. And that makes it valid. That makes it real. If it is also balanced in the Scripture. You need to see someplace. If you want to jump and shout, you need to see if anybody in the Bible ever jumped and shouted. Amen? That's right. King David jumped and shouted. The Ark of the Covenant's coming. He's jumping and shouting and getting excited. He got so excited he ripped his shirt off. Man, it's coming back home. And he got excited so much so that his wife got upset with him. Now everybody knows when your wife gets upset with you, put your shirt back on. Amen? Just a thought. I just kind of stick that out there for you. But she almost quenched the spirit. You know what I'm saying? David, you foolish man. Well, hey, you got to have some emotion in this. It's because we're emotional creatures. Do you think God is not emotional? God is love. And so that spiritual insight, that understanding that He wants to understand, is express yourself, but do it in the right way. Do it scripturally. That's why you've got to be careful. That's why one of the gifts in this list is discerning of spirits. We have people that come into this church for a while. They'll yell and scream and try to make you think they're real spiritual. And so they'll talk in tongues and they'll give interpretation. They'll dance around. And the next thing you know, they start talking to you about things they believe. And you begin to discover some of these people are squirrels. You know, and I understand that people can walk in this church and look at me and say, well, you're the biggest nut in the thing there. So no wonder you got a bunch of squirrels in your church. But anyway, and they can look at us and say, hey, but listen, in this church, as long as I'm the pastor, we follow the Scripture. We don't give 5 or 6 messages in tongues or prophecies. We do 2 or at most 3. You notice that there was only 3 today. And if there would have been number 4, pastor would have been coming to the stage. And it would have interrupted the last one. Because scripturally, it's 2 or 3. That's Paul's writing to us in Corinthians. So. We want to be very careful that we follow Scripture and we try to do that. But even with that, that does not quench our relationship with Jesus Christ. We just do it with more understanding. Free. There's nothing that halts us from that. But we want to make sure we do it scripturally. So, because Scripture gives us security. So our spiritual insight doesn't give us freedom to do stupid things. Spiritual insight teaches us how to do it properly. So that the church is edified. So God is exalted. Cool things happen in the Spirit. You might see wonderful things like healings or people finding Christ. All those kinds of things happen in the church. It's exciting to go to church. Unless it's a church that's just as dull, it possibly got no emotion. Now, I want to be very careful when I say that, because there are times when the Holy Spirit might arrest us and be very quiet, very sacred moment. Does anybody know what sacred moments are? Does anybody know what it is? Not when God gets you to bores you till you fall asleep. Not that kind of thing. When the Holy Spirit is moving in such an awesome way that nobody says anything. You just enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit. There are sacred moments. So don't get me wrong. Now, every service shouldn't be me leaping off the stinking stage sometime. Good thing you caught me. You know, I'm getting a little older. I would have done a combat role for you, but I'm getting a little older. So God is developing our character, developing our spiritual understanding, but he wants to develop us. So turn quickly to Ephesians if you can. And I'm going to close with this because I've taken you over a few minutes anyway, and I don't want to abuse our time. But listen to what he says in the book of Ephesians 4 and 13. What is the purpose? What is he doing? What is God, if he's working on my moral character and he's working on my spiritual insight, what is that leading to? Where is that going to take me? Listen to what he says. Let me begin back in the 11th, because there's a list of things there as well. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Those are ministry gifts and so forth. For what reason does he do that? Why does the Holy Spirit work in that way? Well, to do the moral character and the insight thing, yes. But verse 12 begins to tell you, for the perfecting of the saints. I know you don't think you're perfect, but that's what he's doing. He's perfecting you, making you perfect. For the work of the ministry, what's that ministry for? For the edifying of the body of Christ, that's the church. What's that for? For what reason? Till we all come in the unity of the faith, till we all understand that we all have moral character, we all have spiritual insight, we all have faith and understanding of God, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, so you learn about him, and unto a perfect man. And what is that perfect man? How do you describe that perfect man? What is the end goal of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives? Unto the measure of the stature, are you with me? The stature of the fullness of Christ. So what is God doing? He's trying to make us look like Jesus Christ. Our example, our leader, our redeemer. He wants us to be. Why? Why like Jesus? Well, because God accepted Jesus as our sacrifice. And the sacrifice necessary, that's why communion was all about. God accepted Jesus' sacrifice as the final sacrifice. So I want to be as close to whatever Jesus was, except being God, of course. I want to be as close to being what his example was as I possibly can, because God accepted him. And he raised him and he set him on the right hand. And from there, Jesus directs the Holy Spirit to work in the church. Where is he taking us? He's taking us to the fullness of the stature of Christ. One day we will look like him. Not physically necessarily, but my character, my attitude, my actions, my thought life, everything about me is going to be godly. It's going to be morally filled with moral character. It's going to have spiritual insight. And I'm going to develop and grow personally as a person, completely, physically, spiritually, and in every way. Wow, what a job the Holy Spirit has. Just take a look around you. Look around. Now look at the person next to you and say, man, has God got a work to do in you? Amen. Now remember, they were looking at you too, saying the same thing. But look, we look around at one another and we see that God ain't quite through with us yet, is he? He's still working on us. But eventually, at some point, he's going to take us to that place where we exemplify Jesus Christ. Why? Well, because there's a few more of us out there that are still living the way we used to live. Didn't know Christ. Didn't know the importance of living right, doing right. Instead of cheating one another in business deals or ripping one another off or whatever else you can think of. Make your own list. I don't have to make a list for you. The things that we once were involved in, and now Christ has redeemed us and helped us. And we try our best to do right. And one of the things that we discover, even before we were a Christian, but especially after we're a Christian, we can't do it. I want to be just like Jesus, but I keep finding myself fall short. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's the final note I want to leave you. That's the final statement I want to leave you with. The Holy Spirit makes up the difference where you fall short. The Holy Spirit will help you reach the rest of the way. How awesome is the Holy Spirit working in our lives? And you know, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, non-Christian people, before I was a Christian, anybody that's not serving the Lord, they will desire the things of the Holy Spirit because He's working on everybody. He worked on me before I became a Christian. He works on everybody. He speaks to their heart, helps them to come to someone, and He starts drawing them, tugging on the heart. Come to Jesus. Come to me. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. If you're heavy laden and burdened down, I'll give you rest. Come to me. Come to me. And the Holy Spirit works that on everybody's life. He did it before I became a Christian, and He did it for you before you became a Christian. And so the world, really, the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, is working out there in the world. And our responsibility is to have as much moral character and as much spiritual insight and as much spiritual development as we possibly can, so that when those out there who are lost will have some way to point them to the answer, to the truth in Christ Jesus. In fact, you couldn't believe, they can't believe, nobody can believe until the Holy Spirit makes it real to them. He has to be the one doing the work. That's why the Bible says, no man can come to the Father unless he be drawn by... Hello, I know you've all been drawn already, so it's a little boring to you when I say this, but I'm going to tell you, it's what excites me every Sunday morning about being in church. He draws us. He tugs at us. Come on. Can we get in? He never gets behind us and kicks us and pushes us. No, he doesn't. He draws us and inspires us. So if anybody's trying to force you into something, that's not God. It's the Holy Spirit drawing us. Let's stand together this morning, shall we? I know our service has been full, but it's been good, hasn't it? Good to honor them little runts. I love the princess and the duchess. That's just wonderful. Communion is always good. It's always good to remember. You know why I think Jesus instituted the elements? Because we quickly forget. We just, that happened way back there. It don't mean anything. This gives meaning. You're actually touching and experiencing it. And when we do things like that and we couple it with the Word of God and what's been shared with us more, we've had a pretty full service. And I think we should just spend a moment thanking the Lord for being good to us. Is anybody thankful that God, is anybody emotional? Got any emotions out there? Maybe you ought to raise your hand and just tell the Lord how much you love Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You, Jesus, for all Your goodness to us. We bless Your holy name. Thank You, Jesus. And in Your name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. God bless you this morning.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 2